This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
And Aaron Boone may have supplied us a niblet of information regarding... what may happen at third base that will excite some Yankee fans? We'll get to it a little bit later on.
A niblet?
A niblet. Yeah, it's not like a nibble. It's a niblet. Yeah.
Did you make that up?
No, I think I took it sort of from Full House. So back in the day, Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen played, what was the character's name, the young girl?
Michelle Tanner.
Michelle Tanner. No, wasn't Michelle Tanner. It was Stephanie Tanner.
No. Stephanie was the middle child.
I know, I'm thinking of the wrong character. Stephanie Tanner was talking to Uncle Jesse. And Uncle Jesse wanted Stephanie Tanner to lie. And she's like, I can't lie. And Uncle Jesse Katsopoulos said, it's not a lie, it's a fib. In fact, it's not even a fib, it's a fiblet.
I'm a loser.
So if you add lit to any word, it becomes tinier and cuter.
Don't we do that every day?
Fiblet?
Yeah, fiblet.
Who does that?
Yeah, it's like, oh, what's up, Bob? Good to see you. You don't really. It's not good to see
you. It's a great point. Yes, you're right.
It's just a little lie.
That's a fiblet.
It's a fiblet.
I wouldn't even call it a lie.
Right.
It's a fiblet. Like, yeah. Or when someone asks how you're doing and you're actually having a crappy day and you're like, oh, I'm awesome. You're not awesome. Exactly. It's a fiblet.
It's a fiblet.
So Josina Anderson is one of two reports that have come out recently that is spreading this information on Shador Sanders. Now, Josina Anderson is just reporting, so she's not spreading the bad information. Josina tweeted yesterday, I'm disappointed to hear that a quarterback's coach from a team drafting in the top seven referred to Shador Sanders as coming off, quote, brash and arrogant in his team interview and making his assessment known to a number of people per source. I'm purposely not naming the team as not to directly call them out. I'm just sharing this coach's personal assessment is the direct opposite of how Sanders came across to many reporters in his press conference with the media at the combine.
Yes.
Now, there are people jumping to the conclusion that because she said, quote, top seven.
Right, specific top seven. She could have just said top 10 and it's rounded and it doesn't matter.
Right. She went with a number seven. That right. is leading some to believe, well, the Jets are picking seventh. Is it the Jets and their quarterback's coach, Charles London?
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that's the case, not because I'm reporting, but because I think Josina Anderson is really smart. And I think she knows that there are people that will look at every word she puts out there and analyze it.
Yep.
And she knows if she says top seven, it would cause people to assume the Jets, which means it's not the Jets. Do you agree
so
with
it's
my...
a little smoke and mirrors?
Yes.
I mean, yes, and I also feel like this is that time of the year in the NFL season, media season, where you really cannot believe anything at all. Because even if someone did say this about Shador Sanders, oh, Shador Sanders is a pain in the butt, he's brash and arrogant, you wouldn't want him on your team. It's you could almost take it as some coach saying that so he falls to them.
Exactly.
Right? So as much bad information as you can throw out about one of these kids, you want out there so that they fall. And their value is just not as high. Now, if he comes off as, oh, he's just the greatest kid in the world, I can't wait for him to be on my team, then every team's going to want him.
Right.
And so if you're, it's all disinformation at this stage.
And if you're picking not just seventh like the Jets, but sixth like the Raiders,
yep,
where who knows if Shador is falling to you, it's likelier than not that he isn't, you're going to put information like that out there. But that report from Josina isn't the only negative Shador Sanders report. Todd McShay on the Todd McShay Show said he was talking to numerous people from teams drafting in the top 10 that need a quarterback. I love how that's phrased. Top 10, and they need a quarterback. And the two people, this is Todd McShay speaking, the two people that I spoke to in these positions left the meetings feeling like Shador Sanders was not overly concerned with what they thought of him. With what they thought of him. They had a 15-meeting meeting with him, and they were done, and they both said in different ways, different words, that they did not feel like Shador Sanders cared all that much about what the organization thought of him.
Hmm.
So I take that as these guys left the meeting thinking Shador doesn't give a crap about right. those teams.
Right.
Which,
well, when are they picking, I guess?
Is in the top 10.
Well, it's probably like 8 or 9 or 10.
So teams that Shador doesn't think.
He doesn't think he's getting that far. And so, look, again, I'm not going to impugn the reputation of Shador Sanders because I don't know. I have no idea. But I know that he thinks he's going to get drafted in the top 1 or 2.
It would behoove him, though, not to treat the teams picking 7 through 10 in a negative way for two reasons. Number one, what if you fall? You don't want to be in that position in which it's a free fall. And number two, those teams could trade up.
Right.
We're just talking about the Jets trading up or the Raiders trading up.
Great point.
If they fall in love with you, they could jump from 7 to 2. I've had this, and I admit this is reckless speculation on my part, but I want to preface that. Or let's go with this, educated speculation.
Hypothesis.
Yeah, it's a hypothesis, all right? Not reporting, just a belief I've had since January that Shador Sanders is going to try to Eli his way to the New York Giants. And I've said that to you guys. Mm. It's the 21-year anniversary of Eli, and 21 years before that was, of course, John Elway, who made sure he was not going to be a Baltimore Colt. And so it could also be Shador Sanders treating every other team like crap because the only team he wants to go to is the New York Giants.
Maybe, but again, that to me also sounds like smoke and mirrors. Like, who knows? Like, these kids don't know. They're trying to be as, I don't know, appealing as possible, but they also know that it's completely out of their control.
Yeah.
And so it's a very odd space for them to be in because up to this point in their careers, their lives, they've gotten to choose every step of their path, whether it was, I'm going to go play for my dad if you're Shador Sanders, and I'm going to go to a non-traditional school, Jackson State. And I can't imagine that they, in their mind, the plan was, we're going to do this for a couple years, and then one of the major schools, one of the Power Five schools is going to hire me, and then you're going to come with me. There's no way that was the plan. The plan was, let's just go to Jackson State, crush it at Jackson State, and the NFL teams can't help but take notice.
Mm.
So, but at this stage of your career, you're no longer in control.
Right.
This is the first time in a lot of these kids' lives where they're not in control of what happens next. And that's, I mean, for some guys, kids, that's hard.
And the only way you can control it is by acting certain ways to certain teams and other ways to other teams to try to control your future.
That's just risky, though.
Very risky. Oh, absolutely. Especially someone like Shador Sanders, who, forget about his personality or who his father is, because that doesn't concern me at all. I'll tell you right now, when I evaluate as a fan Shador Sanders, I'm not concerned about that in any bit. In fact, it probably helps him, quite frankly.
Yeah, from a knowing what to do in this moment?
Yes.
Absolutely, right.
So to me, it's just strictly, can he play football?
Yes.
Can he play the position at a high level? And that, you know, when you watch college tape or old games, I'd be the first to tell you, I have no freaking idea. I'll never forget, and I guess this is a compliment to myself, but also my ignorance, because I think it's both. I remember watching Lamar Jackson in college thinking, how's he not going in the top 5? I don't understand this. And I would say it to Joe, who watched more college football than me. I was like, I barely watch, but like, why is he at the end of the first round? And I still don't know. Now, I'm not a savant. I'm not a scout. I was just basic. I was just watching football saying, that guy's good. I'd want him on my team.
I hear you. One of the things that I always think about with college kids is how often am I talking about that kid when I watch him play?
Mm.
And if it's not a lot, it's just like, eh, once or twice a game, whatever. But if you can't take your eyes off that player, then he's got a chance to make it in the NFL.
Yeah.
That's what you have to look for. And in college, that's what Lamar Jackson was.
No
Every
question.
Single time he had the ball in his hand, you were like, uh-oh, what's going to happen? And some for some reason, NFL scouts thought he was a running back.
Well, they were wrong. They were very wrong. Rock is calling from Long Island. How you doing today, Rock?
Hey, guys. Listen, I understand that Shane and Dable, they're in a situation where they have to win. But at this point in time, I think they have to be patient. Would it be so bad if the Giants took Abdul Carter at 3 and Jackson Dart at 33 if Jackson Dart is still there?
No.
And maybe grab a Marcus Mariota or something like that. They'd let Jackson Dart, you know, translate like Eli did behind Kurt Warner.
I mean,
because look what happened to it. You want to give up draft picks now. In 2018, you made the worst pick of your lives in Saquon Barkley,
right,
with four quarterbacks on the board. You're not giving up on Eli, and you pick a running back with a 31st worth offensive line in football.
Right.
Come on, that was the worst pick the Giants could ever made.
Right.
We could have had a slew of picks in 2018. Well, then they get that.
Let's get back to what you said about this year, because you're screaming about 7 years ago.
Right.
It's over.
Here's the thing.
Great take, by the way. Great take.
Right. I wasn't disagreeing with him. I'm just saying it's 7 years ago.
Right. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant to what's happening right now. But his point is actually an astute one. And if the Giants are completely sold on Cam Ward, then they'll trade up, because I think Tennessee has the appetite to move out of there and get some more assets and go back, but not go back too far, which would only be 3. And they actually have a quarterback on their roster who's played some games. He's won some. He's looked good in others. But it is what it is. Are they going to replace him eventually? Probably. I'm talking about Will Levis, of course. But the Giants, like, if they're not fully sold, they absolutely should just take the best player available, whether that's Travis Hunter or that's Abdul Carter, and secure like the other parts of need for their team. And then you go bring one of these veterans. You go through the list. There's, you know, 50 of them that you could go get and draft Jackson Dart or one of these other quarterbacks who you might feel better at as a project, as opposed to a you need to be starting for us right now.
I'm skeptical Jackson Dart's even going to be there at 34.
No, you're right. But the beautiful thing is that the Giants are at 34.
Right.
They're not at 39 or 48 or 50-something.
Right. Or where the Jets are at 42.
Exactly.
Which that 8-pick difference in the second round matters.
Makes a huge difference.
Mike's in Levittown. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
What's up, man?
A couple quick points as a Giants fan. First off, real quick, I heard you talking about the draft trade points chart before. And just as a point of interest, I learned recently, for future picks, you take the middle round of the following round.
Got it.
So if next year's second round pick, take the 16th pick of the third round this year for points value. For Saquon, good job getting paid, and good that the Eagles spending more cap space without adding anything. And with these Giants reports of trading with Tennessee, I really don't like this situation, telegraphing our intentions to the rest of the league.
Well, it might not actually be the Giants saying this. It might be the Tennessee Titans saying this, so that any other team that's thinking about Cam Ward says, hell, we got to go to number one if we want to get Cam
Who
Ward.
Who does it behoove to leak out that story?
The Tennessee Titans.
The Tennessee Titans.
Not the Giants. The Tennessee Titans.
It hurts the New York Giants.
100%.
Because all you're doing is potentially drawing the price tag up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is it possible that the Giants have loose lips in their organization? Sure. I mean, there are a lot of franchises in this town that can't shut their mouths and things leak out. So it's possible that it came out via the New York Giants, but it wouldn't have been done for a strategic reason.
No.
It'd be done for a...
There is no strategic reason for us to know that from a Giants standpoint.
Exactly. It would be done just because you can't shut your mouth reason.
Right.
Which I could say, you're excited about something.
Right, but nobody's doing that.
Yeah, so you think it's definitely Tennessee.
It's 100% Tennessee.
I'd hope it's Tennessee, because I don't want my organizations leaking stuff out.
Right.
Because it usually ends
What's
badly.
The point? I mean, the draft is a month and a half away.
No, I agree.
It's not till the end of April.
I'm glad this guy is calling in, because I have a major issue with him, JR in Somerville. He probably doesn't know I have a major issue with him, but I am I'm a little perturbed with you. So do you want me to start with my issue, or do you want to make your point? It's your call completely.
Yeah, start with your issue.
So JR, very nicely, and I do appreciate this, DM'd me a podcast
by Pablo Torre concerning the Wilt Chamberlain 100-point game, a game that to me is the biggest farce in the history of sports. And I was under the impression, based on the way and what you said about it, that it was going to prove me wrong. Like, I was going to listen to it, because I'm very open-minded with this stuff, okay. And I'm going to say, well, I got this whole thing wrong. Instead, I guess there are people that didn't think the game ever happened. I'm not an idiot. I know the game happened.
Yes.
I just think it was a complete farce. And the podcast proves to me what I always thought, which is that, yes, it happened.
So why do you have a problem with
because
JR?
He was just co-signing
what you said.
No, he wasn't. I sat
yes,
there.
Yes, I was.
Were you?
See, how do you know JR wasn't your ally?
You missed the point, Evan.
Okay,
you
what was the point?
What was the point? The point is that you blamed the New York Knicks for fouling Wilt Chamberlain throughout this game. And getting him to the line, and that's the reason he got to the line. When it was the Warriors, the Warriors who actually went ahead and fouled the Knicks.
JR.
To get the ball back and send Chamberlain to the line.
JR, I know that you are like Tommy.
I'm my franchise. I got to stand up for them. Go ahead.
Okay, you're so sensitive about your basketball team. My knocking of the Wilt 100-point game is not anti-Nick. It's that it was an event that was completely fabricated by both teams. The Knicks deserve blame. The Warriors deserve blame. Like, I didn't say it's the Knicks' fault. The whole thing was a farcical joke. And if it happens in 2025, we're ripping it apart. Everybody is. Mm. With that said, I really enjoyed listening. Thank you for sending that to me.
That was a great podcast. Anyways, great call by Mike before, because I think what we're missing on this whole draft trade talk is a couple of things. First, the Giants should go ahead and draft Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter and then sit there and see what type of offers are out there.
Right.
Because basically a team could trade up to get those guys and give them a haul. Similar to a number one pick. I mean, they're talking about Hunter being cornerback one and wide receiver one, and there's not much pushback about this.
No.
So I think the timing of the trade is very important.
No, I think you're right about that. And Travis Hunter, some people will say he's cornerback two, but who cares, right? He's one of the top cornerbacks in this draft. He's definitely the top wide receiver in this draft. And so if the Giants were going to start leaking stuff, that's what they should start leaking.
Right.
That we are all in on Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter, whichever one you want to pick, and say, we can't wait to add this guy to our team. Dave's and Shane Bowen are going to have so much collaboration. It's going to be in this awesome superstar player. It's going to change our franchise in ways that we didn't even imagine. Like, if you start seeing that coming from the Giants, that's clearly a leak saying, come to number three. Right, we actually want to move out of here because we don't like one of these quarterbacks, and we also feel like we can get more assets because we have so many holes to fill by moving back.
Speaking of Travis Hunter, he was put on the spot at the combine and asked point blank, is what you do harder than what Shohei Ohtani does? Mm. We'll let you take a listen to what his answer was, and I'm very curious. Tiki, who is an all-world softball player and also had a pretty damn good career in the NFL, what he thinks about the Hunter-Ohtani comparison. We'll get to it coming up, plus more of your calls at 888-808-1019. Before we get to Hunter versus Ohtani and more of your phone calls at 888-808-1019, I don't know if you guys want to watch this or not, but breaking news from earlier today. There's a new documentary coming out on Apple TV. I'll read it to you, and you tell me if you guys are going to watch it. It's called Fight for Glory, the 2024 World Series. The first all-access docuseries exploring the dramatic, high-stakes world of the World Series, where the New York Yankees and the Los Angeles Dodgers battle to capture the most storied trophy in American sports. The new three-part documentary offers a never-before-seen view of each team's journey through the postseason, with exclusive access to behind-the-scenes coverage and interviews with players, coaches, fans, journalists, and family members. The product is produced in partnership with Major League Baseball, and the executive producer of this documentary is a fellow you may have heard of. His name is Derek Jeter. Will you guys watch that?
Now, when does this documentary drop? I don't want to miss when it drops.
So it drops on March 28th.
So it drops on March 28th. That's a big drop.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
Glad we all know when it drops.
I see what you're doing. I was confused at first. I was just giving you the info. But you're right. It drops on March 28th.
No interest.
No interest?
Mm-mm.
Huh. How about you, Sean?
That means that they followed all... I'm assuming it was just... like so, this is a whole season thing?
I'm going to assume it's the postseason. They probably had these
so
filmmakers.
They followed every team?
Nah, they knew the Dodgers, the fix was in. Come on, they weren't worried. Rob Manfred said, don't bother with the Padres and the Mets and the Phillies. And the Yankees, it was obvious. They were the best team in the American League. I think they got cocky and they said, just follow those two teams. Or, you know what they said? Oh, I got the answer. I got the answer. Only follow the Yankees and the Dodgers, because if any other team gets there, we're not airing this crap.
Right, we scrap it. Nobody's watching it.
We're not airing Mets Guardians.
Right, you're joking?
Yeah.
I guarantee you that's true.
I know. I'm not joking. So any interest in this? By the way, again, it drops March 28th. Sorry, that was Tommy's line. It doesn't work as well.
We need three parts?
Three-part documentary about the 2024 World Series between the Dodgers and the Yankees.
Part one is the Yankees' journey. Part two is the Dodgers' journey. Part three is game five.
Skip the first
game six.
I would rather receive a lap dance from Roseanne Barr today than ever watch an episode of that.
Wow. You're not interested?
No, I'm not.
How about the journey? I mean, you guys were...
The journey? I lived the journey.
You guys were almost champions. that's a feature we have coming up at 4 o'clock.
I don't need Tim Hill's uncle interviewed to tell me how fun the journey was. I'm
interesting.
Good.
Interesting.
I'm good.
Had you heard of this before?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, this was announced along with the Apple TV Plus schedule, which I know bothers a lot of people because it's not convenient to watch baseball that way and all that crap. But they announced their Friday schedule, which does feature a lot of Mets, a lot of Yankees.
Oh, that's interesting.
And this is along with it. Hey, we've got this new docuseries you can watch on Apple TV Plus, and it is about the Yankee-Dodger World Series.
I wonder if there will be a residual backlash.
And by the way, while you're at it, get all the damn games off of Apple Plus. I will watch it because I'm curious if there'll be any new information, like new things we learn about this World Series.
What new information do you need?
You might
have like the Dodgers mic'd up in the dugout as that fifth inning unfolds. Yeah, I'm good on all
that. Oh, you think they have that?
I'm sure they have some kind of behind-the-scenes stuff like that.
I'm interested.
But I got to tell you, once Apple...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 3-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Plus became a talking point that we kept talking about. All the shows that are on Apple Plus, they're great.
Oh, they're great.
I'm in on it. Now I love the baseball package.
Well, the problem
did you get it?
Yeah, I have Apple TV. I love it.
You got that? You got the baseball package?
No, I'm saying like once you have Apple TV Plus, you get
I don't even think, like, I have Apple TV Plus too. I don't think you even need to purchase it to get the baseball thing. Isn't the baseball a part of just like a free thing? Like you just go
if
to
you
it.
Have the Plus. Yes.
No, you need to purchase the Plus.
Okay, I think year one you didn't need anything.
Yeah,
all baseball, you had to do was have like an account.
Yeah.
But Apple TV Plus is a really good product.
It is. And Severance, Ted Lasso.
That show with the guy.
Morning Show.
Morning Show, Slow Horses.
Jake Gyllenhaal Show.
Silo. Dang it.
With the murder. The murder mystery.
With the guy in the place. And how could we forget?
You know, the guy, the girl gets murdered. He's the guy
that actually murdered her. But
it was a Harrison Ford movie turned into a show.
Presumed Innocent.
Presumed Innocent. Great show.
Okay.
Unforgettable show.
Invasion's on there, too.
It's a good product, man.
I think I watch all the shows that I watch on Apple Plus.
If you went like Netflix, Hulu, Apple TV Plus, Amazon Prime, and you said, all right, which one do I use more?
Mm-hmm.
Apple TV Plus may win.
That's all well and good, and I understand the NFL does this. There are 162 baseball games. The Mets are on Apple TV, so Juan Soto, right, new with the Mets, game 2.
Yeah.
Can we wait a freak? There are plenty of people that either can't access it, don't have it, don't want to get it. Game 2?
Right, that's very true.
That's ridiculous.
It's a little early.
And I think the other issue is, even if, hey, I have Apple TV Plus, it's not that complicated, this is a streaming world we live in, if that's not your issue, because that's not my issue, it's not your issue,
no.
I don't even think it's your issue, Tommy, the issue that I run into is, I want to hear my announcers. Like, one thing about baseball is, I want to hear Gary, Keith, and Ron. Mm. Yankee fans want to hear Michael Kay, Ryan Rucco, Paul O'Neill, David Cone, Tino Martinez.
Several others. Cast of thousands.
But we do. It's genuinely.
You get a million games with your own announcers. That's not the problem at Apple TV Plus. Maybe, all right, you want to hear your announcers.
But it's right out of the gate, though, Sean.
No, you're right.
Do it in June.
The problem with Apple TV Plus, and I wish they would just learn this lesson when you watch the games, it's too much. Like, everything needs to be the most cutting-edge technology, the way it's described, the way they're tracking the
pitches. The things they bring in.
The stat casting the whole time. Just put the game on. That's all I'm looking for.
No.
Game and broadcaster, that's all we need.
Strike zone box, miles per hour, we're good.
No, the issue is there's going to be a large percentage of Met fans that are not going to get to see their baseball team play the second game of the year. This was the same thing last year. It's opening day of baseball. 1 o'clock rolls around. We were talking about this on a group chat. There were no games.
Lugauer. Part of being Big Brother is reaching into that pocket.
It's not about being Big Brother. It's about Major League Baseball not having a clue how to market their sport and actually have their audience see the games.
And to Tommy's point, like, the facts are the facts. I like Apple TV Plus. You like Apple TV Plus. We all have it. They only have 25 million subscribers, which is one of the smallest numbers of any of the streaming services. Now, think about our city and our country and how many people live here and how small of a percentage that is. It's not a big percentage. And so the reality is, and I think you're actually spot on with this, Tommy, if this is a game in the middle of June, the majority of people are like, there's 162 of them. In fact, I think that's something Tommy would say.
Right.
It's the second game of the year where you're still excited about, ooh, baseball's back.
Right.
And a lot of people won't watch it. Because, again, only 25 million people are subscribers to
Apple
TV.
And it's not a habit yet to just go look at Apple TV.
Oh, there's probably, until we said this now, there's probably plenty of people that, what are you telling me? They're on Apple TV? Is that what you're telling me? Game 2 of the year, I'm not going to be able to see them.
Right.
And then the first game of the year is during the day, so a lot of people aren't going to be able to see that game either. So now we're like 3 games into the year, and most Met fans wouldn't have actually watched the team play. There's 162 baseball games. Can they start the Apple TV package on Friday nights in June or July?
It's all right. You'll be 2-0. It's all good.
I know, and listen, I know, it's the wave of the future. It is what it is. But game 2, come on, man. That's ridiculous.
Is Tommy aware they don't have they don't have a game on the first Sunday yet? Because that'll bother.
Yeah, we discussed this. What's the Saturday night game on ESPN? Will they actually be on SMY at any point here?
The reason the Mets aren't playing on a Sunday is because interleague play.
No,
that's the real reason. Because you only play 3 games against teams not in your league.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to open up on a Thursday and you don't need the natural off day because they play in a dome for a rainout, they play Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The Yankees last year didn't have a problem because they played a 4-game series against the Astros because they're a team inside their league. I hate to give you the weeds on it, but that's the answer on why they're not playing on a Sunday. But that's old news. The schedule came out months ago. Yeah. I don't know why that's being portrayed as something new or has something to do with Apple TV.
Sean,
it doesn't.
Sean's just trying to troll.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
I'm not trying to troll.
Now, let's get to Travis Hunter, because he was asked at the Combine a question that is now gaining a lot of steam amongst the sports fans out there, which is, Travis Hunter plays corner and he plays wide receiver. Is that more difficult than what Shohei Ohtani does? Hunter was asked it. Here's his answer.
Probably me, what I do in football, because it's a lot on your body. You know, Tony, he's a great player, but you got to do a lot in football.
So he's saying himself. Now, do you agree with this?
He's right from a endurance standpoint. To play, I don't know, how many snaps is that? 80 snaps at least, maybe 100 snaps on both sides of the ball in a football game is damn near impossible. The fact that he did it last year and was mostly healthy, I think he did get beat up a little bit, but I think he was mostly healthy, is astonishing to me. But from a skill standpoint, it's Ohtani. It's not even close. Like, I always used to say this about football, and because most people don't know what they're seeing in mass. Like, right. They know what they're seeing when they're watching the football, but when they're looking at the whole big picture, they don't know what's going on.
Right.
And so as a football player, there are plays where you could just kind of do nothing. Like, you could just cheat the play.
Interesting.
And not do anything. Because it's away from you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or just, I'm a running back, but there's nobody dogging or blitzing. I'm not carrying the football. It's a pass play. What am I doing? I'm not doing anything. Right? But nobody sees me not doing anything because they're focused on where the ball is. Whereas in baseball, if you're hitting or pitching, it is intense in the moment the entire time. Like, you're not hiding.
It's interesting.
From what Ohtani is doing. You can hide as a wide receiver because this play is designed to go the other way. Like, I'm going to run a cursory route.
Right.
Or I'm designed to block here. I'm just going to, like, brother-in-law it. Brother-in-law is like, we just kind of give a pity pat thing. So
what is that about? Why do you guys insult brother-in-laws? They don't care? Is that what that reference came from?
No, it's just like a brother-in-law. It's like, I'm not going to hurt you.
Oh, I got it.
You don't hurt me. You got my back. I got your back.
My initial reaction is that it is more difficult, and he hasn't done it yet, so let's be fair, at the professional NFL level, I think it's more difficult to do what Travis Hunter would be trying to do. Because,
well, hold on. So think about this in college. Just do it from a college level first.
Okay.
Because he hasn't done it on the NFL level.
Right. I don't know if he will.
By
the way.
How many people have done this in college? Gone both ways.
How many?
Not a lot.
Right.
I'd say it's a handful.
Yeah. Especially in the modern era.
Right.
Like 70 years ago, sure.
Now think about how many baseball players are starting pitcher, best pitcher on their baseball team, and they hit 20 home runs.
It's never happened in the history of baseball.
No. In college.
Oh, in college, it happens.
A lot, right? There's a lot of guys that go both ways. But there's never been someone to fully do it in the NFL, but there has been a guy do it in Major League Baseball.
Right, but I'm going to give Travis Hunter the benefit of the doubt that maybe a team will allow him to try, and we'll see if he can pull it off. Now, I think it's going to be almost impossible to pull it off to the level that Ohtani has, where offensively he's one of the best hitters in baseball.
Right.
And as a pitcher, he's had a lot of injuries, but when he's pitched, he's been very effective. But the reason why, in theory, because it's a theory, because you're right, it hasn't happened yet, Hunter is trying to do something more difficult, is that think about what Ohtani does. He does not play the field.
Mm-hmm.
He gets 4 at-bats a game, and then he sits on his ass.
But I'm just saying the skill, like the hit, like hitting a baseball is probably the hardest sporting skill that exists.
Yeah.
Like, someone's throwing a ball 100 miles an hour, and you got to square it up and hit it out.
Chad Ochocinco had a great point. He said the two most difficult things to do in the world are hitting a baseball and keeping a woman happy.
He's right.
And I was like, that's interesting.
Right.
No, you're right. Hitting a baseball is very tough, but Ohtani DHs, he gets 4 at-bats a game, and then once a week, when he's healthy, he makes a start in which he's pitching in 15% of his team games.
All right,
Travis Hunter is attempting to play every game, play just about every snap at a physically demanding position, and do it both at a high level.
Right.
Like, that to me is on another level compared to what Ohtani's trying to do.
If he does it, it will be... it'll be the hardest thing accomplished in sports.
But he won't do it. Is the point?
I don't think he's going to do it.
I agree.
Because you're right about Ohtani. Like the exertion isn't there for Ohtani.
It's not even on the same level.
It's not even close. But the precision to be excellent at it is. Like, my point is, you can be excellent and not always be at the top of your game in football, right? Just because someone screws up, someone falls down, you get an easy, you know, wide open touchdown. It looks, your stats show that you were fantastic, but you didn't really do anything. So, but to be great as a pitcher and a hitter in baseball, every moment you got to be on 100%.
I'm very intrigued. Keith McPherson was texting me, and he's going to watch the Apple TV series. And he noticed them filming, by the way, in the World Series.
I didn't notice it because
we were at a bunch of the games, too, and I didn't see it.
Well, you just assume that this is all these extra cameras there.
Right.
Just because it's the World Series. I didn't even think about, hey, maybe that's somebody shooting a documentary.
And usually they have a World Series video for the teams.
Apparently this covers different. The whole postseason, correct?
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like it's access and it's the lead up to it. Because it's quite a story when you look at what happened. I mean, we forget this about the Dodgers because we're so focused on the Yankees series and the Mets series. They were about to be eliminated by the San Diego Padres. Like, their backs were against the wall. You know, Met fans and Yankee fans, I heard Big Mac having this argument last night. Sean and Loogie have had it before. This whole argument of, you know, who had a better year? Who took the Dodgers further? When the answer is, none of us did compared to the Padres. We're both a bunch of losers.
Good point.
They were about to eliminate them.
Good point. Yeah, they only need to win two games, but all right.
It doesn't matter. You won one game, bro.
All right. But the game's
individualized. You won one game. The Padres won twice. The Mets won twice. I'm not trying to minimize
how the games are played.
Sean, I'm not trying to minimize it. The Yankees went to the World Series, and I'm not trying to make this an argument, though you're going to try to make it one.
No, I'm
just saying, Met fans and Yankee fans, see, I'm putting them both in the corner, sit down in your own little corner. The Padres took the Dodgers further than either of us did.
It's a loser mentality anyway. The Dodgers won. That's it.
Okay, we just move on.
No, you know what?
Such a baby. You won't let this go, will you?
What are you upset about?
What are you upset about?
Evan's face. That's what I'm upset about.
What I do? I'm putting the Padres over. It's all I'm doing.
One more closing thought. How about a round of applause for Major League Baseball? Instead of dumping awards in the middle of football season, at least they're putting it out when we're in the mood for baseball.
Okay.
Oh, right before the season?
Yeah.
Or right as the season
started? I may not have an appetite for it, but at least it's smart marketing for once. They didn't bury this thing.
You know what I'd be more interested in, the World Series docuseries? A couple of years after the World Series.
Yeah, when it's not fresh on your mind, you're like, oh, that, I remember that being a good one.
Yeah, like if you told me right now, hey, we are releasing a docuseries on the pandemic World Series between the Dodgers and the Rays 5 years ago. But it was a weird World Series. It was in a pandemic. It was a neutral site. Justin Turner got COVID. He ran back on the field. The decision that Kevin Cash made around Blake Snell, like all that. And you told me all access docuseries. Rays almost blew a 3-0 lead in the ALCS. Like all that crap. The Dodgers, weren't they down 3-1 in the NLCS, I think, to Atlanta that year?
You ask yourself, you're the only one in this room that remembers the whole postseason.
I was the only one who watched that?
Yeah. Not watch it, but just remember.
If they had a docuseries about that, I think I'd be like, oh, okay, I'm interested. I sort of forgot. But when something is so recent, it's almost like you got to give it time before you watch a docuseries.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If they had a docuseries on Rangers Diamondbacks, are you watching it?
Rangers? Oh, yeah, the World Series.
No. We played the Panthers last year.
I got confused. I'm a baseball fan. I was like, what's he talking about?
Exactly. That's my point.
Tiki, I say this as respectfully as I can. I don't think there will ever be a day in which I will give a rat's ass about the Diamondback Rangers.
Which is why your suggestion that they just followed the Yankees and the Dodgers is probably true.
Yeah, they were only going to air this docuseries if it was Dodgers-Yankees. Let's go to Austin and Rockaway. How are you, Austin?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. What's up?
First off, I wanted to start off. I'm a season ticket holder. I didn't get the call this season of the Giants, but I just wanted to say, Tiki, as a father, the first game of the year when they honored you in the field, to see your daughter down there.
Oh, thank you.
She was just so happy. It honestly was one of the best things I saw. I really touched me.
Yeah, she was great to fill in for me. Now she's in love with Frank Gifford's son. Who is, I don't know, 30 something? Cody? He's awesome. He's a good looking dude.
Wow.
And he took care of her.
Yeah.
Nice. He was like, yeah.
Yeah, that's you. Awesome.
Yeah, so it's cool.
You could tell the smile on her face that she was just so proud to be there for you.
I appreciate that, Austin.
And that was awesome. So, just talking about the Giants, I don't know if Sean remembers this, but I called a long time ago, kind of talking about the Malik Nabers situation with giving him the number and losing Saquon, and how being a Giant was being lost and that kind of thought process of, you know, once a Giant, always a Giant.
Right.
It felt like it was fading for me in the beginning of the year. Hmm. And then after this year, oh my goodness, did it ever come true? And I wonder if Sean thinks about, I don't even know if he remembers that. They ridiculed me on that and were saying that I was so wrong. But everything that's come out recently with the draft, well, they have no idea what they're doing in the draft. They can't pick a great draft that they tried. They can't get veteran players. They can't. I don't know why we overlook the thought of these guys just can't do it. They lost Saquon Barkley, Love, McKinney, Wink Martindale.
Right.
They brought in veteran players like Waller, Galladay, Solders. These are their picks and their decisions that they made, and we think that they're going to be able to make the right decision now.
Well, in fairness, Galladay was Gettleman.
But, so was Solder.
Yeah, but I mean, look, Austin, you make a good point, and I think this is why this year's draft and free agency are so important for this Giants team right now, meaning the front office and the coaching staff, but also for the organization's direction. So free agency is hard because of how much money now you have to guarantee. There's a reason that the Giants are selling 10% of their of the team, because they need cash. They need operating cash. And so when you look at these guys, these sign these free agent deals, and they have $180 million in guarantees or whatever the heck it may be, that's right out of the owner's pocket,
mm-hmm.
right? That's not cap money. That's not fungible stuff. That's pure cash. And so doing that is very hard. It's why the Eagles have done this in previous years. It's why other teams have sold percentages of their companies so that they can just have cash on hand to operate and do the business of bringing in free agency. The draft, though, is where general managers and personnel departments make their hay, right? This is where you can't miss, because if you miss too many times, your team stinks.
Right.
Because you can only bring in so many free agents, and so you got to draft and develop players. And so Joe Shane did a heck of a job last year in the personnel department. They did a good job last season. If they do it again, then I feel like things will start to get better. If they miss again, like year one and two, then they're in trouble, right? And we're not going to know that probably till halfway through the season, but this draft is so imperative. Regardless of what they do, quarterback and everything else,
yeah. It
is imperative for the future of this regime and for the organization.
No doubt. And I hate to say this, because I don't say this as a troll or a bad guy. I respond to what Austin said as a Giant fan. I say this as an IFO, and I say this on March 4th at 3:52 p.m. I think it is very likely we are sitting here in January talking about a new head coach and a new general manager. I think that is the likeliest outcome.
Likely. I don't know. I'm a Giant fan, so I tend to have faith. I want to have faith.
I want to have faith, too. Trust me. Like, as a sports fan, I never want to go into a season with no faith. And it's not that I don't have faith. The problem I have is Joe Shane did have a good draft last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they still only won three games.
But rookies. You know my feeling on rookies. Some of them you can count on. Some of them you can't.
But I also look at what their quarterback situation may or may not be. I look at their schedule. I look at the division.
Yeah, forget the schedule, because you can't help that. Only thing you can control is what you have done. Like what you've built. And the Giants did a good job last season, and they believe that their issue is their quarterback. And if they get that right, then we'll judge them.
I hope
that's what this offseason is fully
absolutely
about.
I hope I'm wrong, because I don't want to sit here saying that. But I look at your face, Sean, and I like you. I want to give you a hug, because I don't root against you. But I have a feeling we're going to be sitting here in January, and it's going to be starting all over again.
I don't even fully disagree with that opinion, but that opinion coming from you is a complete contradiction to how you opened the show.
Yeah. About what?
Because the most likely scenario for this regime is
what
that...
What did I say that? Which contradicts what I just said. I've been saying this for months. I think this is probably going to start over next
hold
year.
Hold your horses, as we said in the 90s. You started the show with, the Jets need to take a swing. Mm-hmm. You love what you've watched on YouTube with Cam Ward. As we sit here today, like it or not, the most likely scenario for this regime is they're trading up for Cam Ward. So if you like him enough for the Jets, how could you sit here and go, I think we're sitting here?
Because did I ever say they're ending up with Cam Ward? I've predicted over and over again they're going to end up with Shedeur Sanders. Your projection of what you think the Giants are going to do does not connect with what I think they're going to do. So your attempt at trying to make me some kind of, contradictory person is not true. I've said forever I think they end up with Shedeur Sanders.
Okay.
Have I not?
As we sit here on March 4th, Cam Ward to the Giants at one feels like the most likely scenario.
You can think that. Yes.
I've sat here since January thinking, I think, unfortunately, and I understand why I shouldn't look at the schedule. I shouldn't, but it's a factor. I think they're going to have a very tough time winning games next year. I think Shedeur Sanders is going to be your quarterback. And I think in January, we're talking about a new head coach and GM. I've said it in January, I said it in February, and I said it in March. And I don't want to say it anymore, honestly. I don't, because it feels as I say it like I'm some kind of hater.
Right.
And I don't want to be. I'm giving my opinion. And honestly, I know you don't believe me, neither one of you, because even Tiki's giving me the look. I don't want to be right about that. I don't hate the New York Giants.
It makes it easier to be a Jet fan if the Giants are bad.
Stop it. Stop it. Hey, when we come back, it is another edition of Almost Champions. We unveil the committee's picks for numbers 12 through 10 on the Almost Champions of the last 40 years in New York sports. We'll get to those rankings coming up. We'll get back to your phone calls. A lot of Cam Ward, Jets and Giants discussion, and also some baseball. A mistake that David Stearns made, and Aaron Boone gives us a hint at third base. So there's a lot to cover right here on The Fan.